after the 1 o'clock hour. Always a joy to get this next guest on the program with us, our Nuggets insider, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, my friend, you know, we got a lot of Madden. Did you fill out a bracket? Do you do a bracket? Do you mess with that at all?
I do. It's one of my favorite things to do. I haven't done one yet. That's something I'll have to do tonight. I thought we'll do it after the game is over tonight. But, yes, it's one of my favorite things to do. It's one of my favorite times. Maybe my favorite actual time of the year. And so I can't wait.
So, okay. I know you're a Buffs guy, Chris, but I have to ask. CSU, Michigan, tomorrow. First game, I believe. Who do you have?
Well, I hope CSU can pull that off. You know, I think Michigan shouldn't even be in the NCAA tournament, if you ask me. This is just having watched Michigan multiple times this year. I mean, they almost lost half the game, and they still got in the tournament, and they didn't even have to play their way in. It's just shocking to me. But I think CSU can pull this out if they just do two things that is well within their character. One, do not turn the ball over. That is something that they just don't do. And so you got to play mistake free or as close to that basketball, and then make a 3-point shooting. If they're not going to make 3-point shots, then it might get a little dicey for them. Michigan's got the big guy in the middle. His name is escaping me right now, but he certainly is a he can be a load. He can be a load, and you don't want his effect on the game to have a bigger effect than what you can do in the open court and perimeter wise with the 3-point shooting. And Roddy can play inside and out. And have an effect on the game that way. So, this will not be easy. There's not no doubt about that. Michigan puts good athletes on the court, but I think Colorado is more than equipped to be able to pull out a victory there tomorrow.
Chris, I know your focus is on so many things Nuggets, but I don't know how many games you got a chance to watch for CSU. What are your thoughts? I always like talking to more NBA guys about this. Your thoughts on David Roddy? I really believe he could be an NBA talent, but I have such a hard time evaluating that transition from college to the pros. What are your thoughts on Roddy?
Yeah, you know, I think for Roddy, the good thing for him is that, you know, that 3-point shot, that jump shot is developing, because what he would be in the NBA is an undersized kind of big man. And, you know, he is kind of a rough and tumble guy. He can go in the post. He likes to post up. He's just not going to do that at that size with the same level of success in the NBA. So what's his face-up game look like? What is his 3-point shooting and his jump shooting in general look like? And that's so much better this year. I think he has a chance. And a junior, so maybe it's one more year at CSU before he comes out, just to refine some of the finer aspects of his game that would be more tailored to an NBA style of game. But I love the heart and soul that when he plays, he's a very effective player on the basketball court. And so, but when I just look at him in my mind's eye, he looks to be, he has a chance. I mean, I don't know if it's a great chance, but I think he could turn that into a great chance with another year there and continuing to hone what would be most successful on the NBA level. And I'll just say this before I end this answer. You know, a lot of that has to do with what are you doing in pick and roll. And, CSU, you know, there's in terms of what David Roddy does, I mean, there is some pick and roll in there. In that program, with what he does in a two-man game. But I would like to see more of that, because the more successful he is in that particular action, whether it's stepping out and popping, whether it's getting downhill and maybe finishing at the rim, or maybe understanding and reading the situations to finish in between, being a good passer out of that, out to a weak side corner 3-point shot, that's going to help him all the more, because he just projects as a little bit more of a perimeter guy. He will play more on the perimeter in the NBA.
Talking to Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. I like it. I mean, all that makes sense. Got to get that pick and roll game going for sure. How about the other night, man? This Nuggets team, I'll tell you, after watching the Toronto game, we were doing a remote out at a sports bar Monday. The game's getting ready to come on. Somebody asked me, do you think the Nuggets are going to pull it off against Philly? And I said, man, I am so disheartened after that Toronto game. I am not picking the Nuggets to do anything on this day. And of course, that game was kind of tough. I mean, you had Philadelphia certainly in a position where you thought they were going to run away with things, but I mean, Bones Highland, Nikola Jokic, Boogie Cousins, they all had different plans, and I thought it was such a special night, too, because of Bones Highland's story. That was so cool.
Yeah, it really was. It's, you know, I said to somebody just yesterday, I think when I look back on my career, it will be one of my 5 or 10 most favorite moments.
Wow.
And it's just because, you know, the story... It's a multi-layered story. I mean, the story is that, you know, he was saved and one of his brothers was saved from a fire we're in 2022 now, so 4 years ago. But there were also deaths that happened that day. I mean, everybody didn't get out. And so, you know, it was a very emotional day for him, and you could see it. I mean, it began with the highest of highs. You start pregame, the firefighters showed up. It was a great interaction between him and the firefighters from Delaware, where he's from. And then you get into a basketball game, and he didn't start off shooting very well. I mean, he just didn't. And it was looking kind of like, oh, you know, I wish he would have had a better night tonight in front of all his fans, literally hundreds of people, literally, there to watch him play basketball. Then all of a sudden the fourth quarter happens and he knocked out 4 3-pointers. He's jumping up and down. It just is, you know, he helps lead a team to victory in a game that the starters literally didn't score a point in the fourth quarter until less than a minute to go. I mean, that's how instrumental he and that bench were in the fourth quarter to winning that game. And then for him to go from that, and then he gets in the post-game press conference, and somebody asks him again about the interaction with the firefighters, and he has this moment where he just breaks down and cries.
Mm.
And because there was loss in that day, you know, it's and to see all of that, and then on top of all that, he got to see one of his favorite teachers. He gave her a signed jersey, and it was just one of my very favorite moments that I'll ever remember in my entire career of covering things or working for Altitude, because he is a energetic, very bright young man. He's a very thoughtful young man, and to understand his story, all he's been through at such a young age, man, he's just barely getting into life, and he's had such tragic loss and such emotional times. For him to be able to live that highest high in that game was fantastic. It was fantastic. I know he'll never forget it, neither will I.
Well, and you know, just following him on Twitter, it's funny, Chris, because he loves the limelight, but not in a way, it's hard to explain. It's not like a Hollywood way. Like, I want to be,
yeah.
No, he has fun with it, and he's always got this smile. I saw a press conference with you guys the other day where Joker's talking, and then there's whispering behind him, and it's Bones whispering MVP, MVP. It was hilarious, man. And I mean, he's a rookie. So I don't know how Tim Connelly and Calvin Booth keep doing it, man. But year in, year out, they keep finding guys that are probably going to be the future of this organization. Now Bones Highland, add him to the mix.
Yeah, most definitely, and he's already the backup point guard, you know.
Right.
And I'm sure we'll get to Jamal Murray here in a second, but what he's been able to do over the course of, you know, beginning the season as this player that we saw really score the ball kind of at ease, so easily that early on in the season said, "Ah, man, I got this," you know. But, you know, this is cake. I just go out and play my game. Well, he found out that there's a little more to it in the NBA. Like, there's, you know, people will figure out who you are, and then they will start to remove your strengths from the game, and can you still survive on the basketball court when people are doing that? And then they had him moved him from two to the one, and he had a little, you know, fits and starts there, but now has really started to really be good as a backup point guard and run the offense and get people involved, and then still at the same time knock down his own shots. And so his impact on this team already has been immense, and it will only get bigger in the future. I mean, there's going to be attrition on this basketball team really quickly in the next couple of seasons. And so they're going to need some young players to step up, and right now they're grooming Bones to be able to do so, and he's really answering the bell.
All right, let's talk about the Joker here. And that's how special of a night it was, right? Joker's the second topic as we get into this.
Yeah.
22
yeah.
points, 13 boards, 8 assists, and I think you would consider that maybe being an off night for the Joker. However, yeah. he gets the win. He goes into Philadelphia. The Nuggets go into Philadelphia over his MVP counterpart. They get the win. Did that flip-flop these two? Did Joker now go up to the top as far as the MVP standings in your mind, or was he already there?
In my mind, he was already there. You know, I think what was interesting about the game, to your point, was I don't think really anything was solved that day. You know, it was, you know, we're all so excited going into the game saying, okay, this is about to be Goliath versus Goliath, man. You know, the MVP, the front runners are going at it. And by the time the game ended, it was Bones Highland show. And it was, you know, Philadelphia kind of falling flat on their face after winning, after being up 19 points. But the feeling I got leaving there was, okay, well, that didn't solve anything. It was, you know, it was fun to see, and both players obviously had their moments. But if you went into that game thinking Joel Embiid was the MVP, it's exactly how you exited that game. And you'll just point to 34 points and say, oh, he was great. If you thought the Joker is the MVP, then you'll walk right out of that game saying the exact same thing. Going, hey, look, he led his team to a victory, was better in an all-around sense probably than Joel Embiid was. And so it was interesting. I thought that was just an interesting outcome of that game in terms of what the MVP race looks like and who got a leg up, because I don't think either one of them really appreciably stood out from the other. So however you thought that they were going into that game is probably exactly how you think coming out of that game.
I really loved that game, though, for so many reasons. I feel like that game had everything that Nuggets fans needed to see, maybe. Joker's doing his thing, and again, maybe an off night, whatever, but still almost a triple-double. You see a supporting cast. Bones Highland obviously plays a great sidekick there. You saw Will Barton get in the 20s. The bench was great. What I really liked, though, was to see the enforcer side of this team. Was Boogie Cousins, and then you see Jermichael Green going at it with Harden, pushing Harden around. You get Cousins laughing in his face. And I'm not talking about being crazy and really messing with each other, but I don't think a lot of teams want to mess with the Nuggets when they got Boogie Cousins on the floor. And I think that's so important, because I do feel like Nikola Jokic was pushed around and disrespected last year. The Nuggets now obviously have Joker, who has stepped up and defended himself. But now you got Boogie Cousins laughing in the face of superstars. I love it. I think the Nuggets have the tools.
Yeah, and, you know, there was a point this year, even on this program, we were talking about, maybe the Nuggets need a little more edge. They need a little bit more. Between DeMarcus Cousins and Jermichael Green, that's taken care of. those two guys come in, and I love how Scott Hastings puts it. He puts this in reference more to DeMarcus Cousins than anybody else. He says, well, Boogie Cousins comes in and changes the temperature of the court, and he's not wrong. I mean, that thing ratchets way up when Boogie Cousins is on the court. It gets real physical. There's bodies on the floor all the time. And with Jermichael Green was always a tough guy. Like, he's a soft-spoken, he's the tough guy that you really don't want to mess with, because he's not demonstrative about that at all. He just goes about his business and then plays a super physical brand of basketball. But what I think that DeMarcus Cousins has done for Jermichael Green is they have enhanced each other in this respect. And so you have these two guys on the basketball court that, who's messing with the Nuggets right there? I mean, you're just not doing that. It's elbows, it's knees, it's physicality. It's Jermichael Green flying in for just vicious dunks. It's it's all the things, and it takes me back to the 2009 team. One of the things I loved about that team that eventually lost to the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals was the fact that they might just beat you up and win the game. Like, you weren't going to, what were you going to say to Kenyon Martin? Nothing. What were you going to say to Dante Jones? Nothing. I mean, it was, these dudes walked on the court and they were going to win the scrap and they were going to win the game. And then they're going to look at you in the face and go, I dare you to do something. And it was one of their little small superpowers. And I think These two guys, and especially DeMarcus Cousins, gives the Nuggets a little bit of that. And so it's a, I don't know. I mean, I was into it way back in the 90s. I'm into it now. You marry that with, obviously, really good spaced-out basketball, and I think you get the best of both worlds.
I think you're right, 100%. All right, Chris, the big questions here. We're just going to keep asking. Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., it seems like we've gone a little quiet on MPJ. What's the status look like? Where's the percentage in your mind that they're going to play this season? Because I know with Jamal, you were still kind of in the middle on that side of it. But what are your thoughts on both studs for the Nuggets?
I was, and now I'm 100% on Jamal. He will be back.
Okay, good. That's great news. That's great news.
Yeah. You know, obviously, we've all seen the reports that he's going to head to Grand Rapids. And my expectation is, yes, that will be a thing, that he will probably just practice there with the Grand Rapids Gold before rejoining the team. And Brady, I expect that to be in short order. I think, you know, the Nuggets, we're on the road here. I'm in Washington, D.C. with them. We're on the road here for the next few days. I mean, we're coming back super late on Friday night. By the time the Nuggets play again at home, I wouldn't be surprised to see Jamal in, not on the court maybe necessarily, but maybe in, and like sitting on the bench in full warm-ups and a full, you know what I'm saying? Like he is,
yeah.
He's definitely ramping up for a return to being able to play. And so I think that's fantastic news. It really is. And I mean, of course, barring whatever happens in the practices, I should say that for sure, because, you know, if something doesn't go right here the next few days, then obviously he won't be back. But, you know, everything continues to go in the direction that it has. I would expect to see Jamal Murray back with the team, and then on the court with the team there shortly thereafter.
Wow, that's great news, man.
Yeah, and then with MPJ, I'm not super sure with MPJ, although I was more bullish on MPJ, as you just
said.
I was more bullish on MPJ about a week or so ago, whenever it was we last talked. I still am. I still believe he'll be back. I really do. And I don't know that he's going to require a stint with the Grand Rapids Gold. And, you know, I think when he returns, he'll just return. But my biggest concern was Jamal Murray maybe not actually making it under the bell, you know, before the regular season's over. But I think that that's not a thing anymore. And if that's the case, then I think my new expectation is to see them both back on the court for the Nuggets. And if that's the case, and, you know, obviously they have to – there's a whole nother set of issues once they start playing basketball again, but the Nuggets are just not going to be a team that anybody wants to play in the playoffs. I mean, that's just, they're already good. And then if you're getting your two of your best scorers back, then how good could they be? So we'll see, but all the news is good. And I'm certainly looking forward to maybe a couple of returns here in the next week to 10 days.
Yeah. Oh boy, that's great news. Getting Jamal back would be so interesting. Of course, we'll see how they end up playing once they're on the floor. As you said, that's kind of a completely new, different set of concerns for Nuggets fans. But right now, they just want to see Jamal Murray and MPJ back on the floor. 13 games left, Chris. We're enjoying it, man. Keep up the great work at altitude, and let's see if the Nuggets can make a push for that fifth or fourth spot here. If they can, they've just kind of been sitting in that sixth spot for quite some time.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, the West, you know, between the Utah Jazz, Dallas Mavericks, and then the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are just not going to go away. They're just going to continue to win and win and win. This is everything a fan could want in terms of a playoff race and seedings, and these teams all pretty much rising to the occasion right at the right time of the year. And I don't know if the Nuggets can get higher, but they certainly keep winning. That's not going to hurt their chances to move higher. But they're also being pushed. I mean, Michael Green yesterday talked about the Minnesota Timberwolves not losing and coming forth, and how he's watching the standings and how they have to go out and take care of business every single night. It's been a lot of fun to watch these teams all play really well. And so for the Nuggets, it is pressure, because what they don't want is, they don't want to be in the play-in, you know.
Yeah.
And And so Minnesota's trying not to be in the play-in either, and they're making it tough. So the Nuggets have to continue to win basketball games.
Yeah, it'll be quite the race, my friend Chris. We'll be looking out for you tonight, as always, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, man. We'll see you.
All right, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. 25 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. We got the Hype House. You are entering the Hype House coming up next. We're going to get you ready. We're going to get it going, man. CSU, Michigan. I won't be on tomorrow. Otherwise, we do it tomorrow. But we're settling for today. Can the Rams get it done? The spread is moving around. What does that mean for Colorado State? The Hype House coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
To win cash for that flawless bracket, join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge for your chance to win $500. Keep listening to 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. I'm getting pumped, man. We were going to do this tomorrow. We're not on the air because of CSU and Michigan. First game in March Madness. You've entered the Hype House, baby. Let's get this thing going. Colorado State getting in the tournament for the first time since 2013. Nationally, everybody's saying the Wolverines are going to win this thing. They lose one of their best players. And they're saying they still 1-point favorites in this game. They don't care about David Roddy. They don't care about Isaiah Stevens. They say, hey, Hunter Dickinson, 7'9", who called David Roddy girthy. What the hell is that? Is that a compliment? If I'm Roddy, I'm getting pissed. It's time to get those eyes, man. I love Roddy to death. He's the nicest guy you're going to meet. But it's time for David Roddy to start switching into that nasty, nasty basketball player. You got a 7'1" guy that's going to try to put you in your place. You got to step it up, man. It's going to be the game of his life tomorrow. And Isaiah Stevens, maybe one of the most underrated great college basketball players in all of the country. He just quietly gets the job done each and every night. I'm looking for him to have a game, too. Listen, man, you are underappreciated. The Mountain West Conference loses last night with the Wyoming Cowboys, which gives nationally more and more fuel to that fire of the Mountain West doesn't belong, that CSU doesn't belong with Michigan. Juwan Howard's team probably shouldn't have even got in. But now you look at the Rams, and they are there. Nico Medved. We're going to talk to Ali Faroukhmanesh in just a moment. This team believes they are dogs. They're a 6 seed going up against the 11 seed, and they are the underdogs. If I'm Medved right now, I'm getting pissed. I'm getting this team fired up in a completely different way. This is a different game than we've seen these guys play. For 3 years, you've been watching Coach Medved grow this program. You've seen Moby Madness grow, selling this thing out each and every single night, breaking freaking records. Now you got a chance to go up against, well, nationally, whether they're 11 seed or not, a Wolverines team that just gets all the respect no matter what they do. This is your chance, man. This is your time to shine, your chance to prove the world wrong and grow that conference. Nico Medved just got the massive deal. You know he's like doing some shadow boxing right now. You know, Ali Faroukhmanesh is popping the one-handed push-ups. We know that for a fact. This is an incredible group, an incredible team that deserves every single thing that they have coming to them. And again, They were 2.5-point dogs without one of their studs. And now they're 1 point. Or they were 2.5 points before we knew that. Now they're just 1 point dog. Still a dog. Even though one of their Michigan's top players is out for this one. In Devontae Jones. He's out for Michigan's game. Or for Michigan's game against CSU. And they still have the Rams as an underdog. It's time to get hyped up, fans. 10:15, bright and early. We're going to be at the GOAT in beautiful Greeley, Colorado, cheering this team on to victory. And you got the Roddy machine, man. The Roddy the Body, D-Rod, whatever. He doesn't even need a nickname. You got a crew that's absolutely unbelievable in this Rams team. They've been so much fun to follow all season long. And I think you got some really big things coming up tomorrow. I love the Rams to win this. It's going to be a blast. Deshaun Thomas, David Roddy, John Tajay, Isaiah Stevens, Kendall Moore, James Moores, Jalen Lake, Chandler Jacobs, Isaiah Rivera. This group's going to go out and upset the world. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Minutes after the hour, we're going to be brief here. I'll tell you about Rev Chiropractic. That's Dr. Tyler Terry and Dr. Haley Harada. And I'm telling you, man, I go to these guys. They're my chiropractors. And it's not, listen, you're not going to go in there, get popped, and then be done in 5 seconds. It is a slower process, which is for the people that are really hurting. If you have back issues and spine issues, shoulder issues, all that, you have to be able to, you know, take this approach that's more than just a quick fix. Because quick fix, it's not going to do any good. You'll feel good for a moment, and then that's it. Rev Chiropractic, they'll take care of you, man. I don't have any back pain anymore because of them, and I had a bad back. My upper back was not in a good spot. So thanks to the great folks at Rev Chiropractic for taking care of me. 40 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. We got CSU basketball assistant coach Ali Farokhmanesh coming up next. He knows a thing or two about March Madness and upsets. I wouldn't call CSU Michigan an upset, but we're going to talk to Ali coming up next. Quick break here. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back to The whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Always a joy when we can get this guy on the program, Colorado State Assistant Coach Ali Farokhmanesh. Coach, thank you so much for being with us, man. We are so pumped up. I wish it was Thursday already, man. The anticipation is absolutely killing me, so we appreciate you jumping on.
No, absolutely, Brady. Thanks for having me on. I'm glad I got a little more time to prep. So I need this day to still prep for the game. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, what was going on with the travel stuff, Coach? I mean, that was bizarre. You guys were like up in the air. When are we leaving? What's happening here? Obviously, it got resolved, and you're there. You're practicing and doing it. But what a weird situation.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was strange. It got to like 10:30 at night. I got 4 kids, so we're like halfway packed because I'm like, well, Matt, we're not leaving until later, probably in the afternoon. Then we get a text about 10:40 that we're leaving. So I had a different level of panic because I was panicking because I had to try to figure out how I was going to get 4 kids ready by 8 o'clock in the morning to get to the airport. So that was a whole different issue. But in terms of us, it was just difficult in the sense that we were trying to plan out the next day, how we were going to practice, how everything was going to go. And then that kind of threw a wrench in it that we had to fly out early in the morning, change the practice time, get a new place to practice out in Indianapolis. But luckily, we got Aaron Katsuma on staff that handles that for us, so he got it done.
We're talking to CSU assistant coach Ali Farouk-Manesh. Yeah, you got it done. You're there. It's all resolved, all figured out. March Madness, I mean, this has been a dream for you guys collectively as a team for a little bit now, and I know that was one of the big goals coming in. You have that opportunity going up against this Michigan team. And let's face it, Michigan is one of those teams nationally that no matter what, people are going to look at that team and Juwan Howard and say, hey, that's going to be a tough group to beat. Coach, do you guys look at that at all, the national perspective? I mean, to have you guys as dogs, to me, is a crime. It's criminal. But does that bug you at all, or does that add extra motivation that you guys are underdogs to an 11 seed in Michigan?
No, I don't even think we look at it like that. I think we've been the dogs. We're always the dogs. We lose the warm-up lines every night we go out, so... I think that's just the mentality that this group has in general. You can't really get caught up in all that because once you get started caught up in all these people that are saying things, well, then you're starting to worry about the wrong stuff. And all I know is anybody that's making decisions on where we are, where we're at, who's going to win, blah, 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 hasn't been at every single practice that I've been at every single year, every day. So, I know our guys, they know each other. We just handle it day by day, just like we have all year. And I know it's the cliche thing, but it truly is sticking to the process of how we go about our business. And doesn't matter what the opponent is, we have a set blueprint of how we do things. And we did the same thing that we did for Michigan, that we did for San Diego State and Boise State and St. Mary's and Mississippi State and all the other 25 wins.
Well, I was going to ask you too. Like, what's that transition like? I mean, you're so deep into Mountain West Conference play. I mean, you guys it was like every other night. I loved watching this conference this year. But you're going up against guys that you know very well. A lot of stud players. Well, now you transition. You know this from your playing days, but that transition into March Madness, typically playing teams, you know, that you don't usually see. Certainly don't see on a yearly basis.
Yeah, it's fun to kind of get back to, you know, we can call a play and not the whole bench is screaming it out. So it'll be fun to be able to do some of that again and be able to run a little bit different offense and then go against a different style of offense on the other end of the floor too. And just prepare for new guys. The best part about our league this year, like you were saying, Brady, was, man, we had some dudes. I mean, you talk about Bryce Hamilton, probably one of the best scorers in the country that people don't know about. Then you got, I mean, Graham Ike up the road, and like he was giving fits to Indiana last night. Then you got Hunter Maldonado. You can go down the line, Justin Bean, Orlando Robinson. So we've seen some high level guys that I don't think some of them that aren't playing in the national stage, whether it's the NCAA or NIT tournaments. We got a ton of NBA talent in this league that's helped prepare us for this next step, because every night out now, the rest of the way, like somebody on everybody's roster is getting some looks at the NBA or high-level Europe. So that's what's exciting, is I really truly believe the Mountain West prepared us for this first game.
I agree with you 100%. It was a stacked conference, no question about it. Makes sense that four teams got in. One of those guys that's obviously a stud that maybe can play at that next level, that's Hunter Dickinson. Seven one. He's a monster of a man. Talk to us. Can you give us a little insight as far as, you know, what you guys can do to ultimately slow him down, or what that looks like?
Yeah, I mean, I had our guys watch the Game of Thrones and look at the mountain, because that's basically what he is. But he's huge. I mean, he's a great player too. I mean, he's probably one of the best passers. That's kind of the unique skill set with him, is, man, he can really pass the ball. They almost use him in the pinch a little bit like our offense, how we use our bigs to make some decisions as well. But, man, he's big. He's strong. He's got great touch with his left hand. He can really pass it. So we're going to have to be on point in terms of our defensive game plan and how we're going to try to mess some stuff up for him and kind of slow down their rhythm offensively. And a lot of it goes through him. He's kind of a point forward, I guess. When we put Roddy in the pinch, it's really similar to us when we give Roddy the ball in the pinch and kind of move him around also. So it's a great matchup, but that's where I'm lucky. I don't like playing Graham Ike twice. I don't like playing Orlando Robinson. I don't like playing those guys. But they've definitely prepared us for playing a guy like Hunter Dickinson.
Devontae Jones, you get that story. Devontae Jones, he's another one of those great players for Michigan. He's officially ruled as out. How do you guys handle that news? I know how we handle it and everything, and I know how the gambling lines and all that go, but what do you guys talk about when you hear that, hey, one of their key players is not going to play tomorrow?
Nothing. Doesn't change anything. Somebody else is going to step up. That's what March is all about. And then I also think, like, I'm not going to believe it until it can be official, unofficial, whatever it is. I'll sure. believe it when we step on the floor tomorrow at 12:15.
I mean, that's probably the way to look at it, Coach. We're talking to CSU assistant coach Ali Farouk Manesh. Got a couple of minutes here. How much of your experience do you use with the guys going forward here? Because I always pull it up because I just like to see it. That Sports Illustrated cover that you're on, I think it's cool because there's like a mention of Michael Jordan at the top. So you're gracing the cover, and then there's Michael Jordan. I mean, that's you got to blow that thing up. That's got to be everywhere in the house, right, Coach?
Yeah, I'm trying to get Coach Medved to put it up in the new locker room.
Yeah.
Put it just a whole wall over there, but I don't know if that's going to pass.
I will sign off on that if you need exactly. a petition. I'm in.
But yeah, in terms of talking to guys, like I talked to them the night before because it's the pageantry of what makes the NCAA tournament great is that everyone's involved. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's excited about it. And man, you get text messages from people you haven't heard from in years. You get text messages from people you don't have their phone numbers. And that's part of it, but you got to embrace it for the first couple of days. And, you know, that's part of the fun. That's retweeting the likes, everything that you're getting out of it. But then at some point you got to shut off and you got to respond to the people that have been with you from day one, when we were losing games to Arkansas State 3 years ago, those same people, like you stay in touch with them right now and answer to them. But everyone else, like they'll understand if they're real, they'll understand that, hey, like, I got to lock in. I didn't come here just to play in the NCAA tournament. I came here to win in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's been an honor to follow you guys. Love watching you. Excited for the timing, too. I mean, I always look at this. I say there's no prime time when it comes to March Madness because every game is March Madness. It doesn't matter if it's 10:15 in the morning. All eyes are going to be on Colorado State. What an awesome opportunity for this Rams team to grow that brand even more. And, man, just hats off to you, the staff, Coach Medved, the players. It's such a fun, great group of people.
No, it's fun. It means more when you're doing it with people that you love. And there's definitely love in this gym, in this team, and within the community, too. I think you saw it over the last five games, especially when it was sold out. I mean, Moby was electric. I remember hearing the quote from Brian Dutcher, the head coach at San Diego State, saying they had to literally change what they were doing offensively and figure out how they were going to do hand signals only because they couldn't communicate anything. And that's what's been fun about it. That's what's been exciting. And hopefully we get a good contingent of people coming out to Indianapolis. And I know there'll be a ton of Ram fans watching on CBS tomorrow, but hopefully get a little bit of Moby Madness tomorrow over the Pacers Arena.
Yeah, I'm pumped for you, Coach. We appreciate your time. I know you're busy and it's chaotic for you, but we wish you the best of luck here from the whole show from KFKA, and just go get them tomorrow, okay?
Nah, thanks, Brady. I appreciate it.
All right, there we go. CSU assistant coach Ali Farouk Manesh. This team's ready to go, man. I love what he says, too. Hey, does Devontae Jones being out mean anything to you? Nope. We're not changing anything. We're just going to assume that the next guy is even better. That's the mindset. And, hey, who better to talk about March Madness a little bit than Ali Farouk Manesh? I mean, what he did, of course, to Kansas all those years ago with that buzzer-beater shot for Northern Iowa, rather. I mean, it's pretty cool. Great guy. All right, we're off until Monday. Good luck with your brackets. If you didn't get into ours, chance to win $500. Sorry. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.